We saw a movie during the week, some of us blokes, and you'll probably pick up a few threads in the pictures, which I'll come to for the movie 1917. It was pretty good, eh? Some of us guys went. So I'm not going to lie, there's a bit of creative inspiration that's come from that movie for this morning's message. So here we go. You guys going to make it to coffee, all right? Yes. Going to share some things this morning which are good things. Things that we feel God's put in our hearts for 2020 at the Hive. Things that relate to the 2nd of February. Things that relate to some of our prayers and our conversations. Things that are happening into this coming year. But I feel like it's important to share some of the why today for why we're doing what we feel called to do. Does that make sense? I feel like we need to get in our hearts something of almost like a burden for why it is that we would make some changes, why it is that we would call upon you to be involved in some new things, why it is that we would call upon you to pray, why it is we'd call upon you to give. So today's a bit of that why, and the two words God's given me for really today's topic, it's not the only thing about what's happening in the coming year, but are the two words rescuing children. You might think, well, David, that's a bit dramatic, but I actually feel in my heart it is something that God's given me to share about today, rescuing children. I have a scripture on the screen, and it's the scripture that comes from the story that is about David and David and the Amalekites. David in this story, everybody say the word Ziklag. Ziklag, can you say that word? Ziklag. And Ziklag is one of those towns that became known for a complete atrocity, really, that took place, and a very hard moment in the life of King David, a very hard life moment in his leadership, I should say, when King David and his men are out fighting and they come back to where their children and their families were. And the Bible says, and we'll read it on the screen if we could, Richard. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 30, and it says, in fact, I'll go back, verse 3, it says, the enemy had taken captive all the women and all those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they'd carried them away, and they went their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. And then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and they wept until they had no more power to weep. I want to suggest to you this morning that the enemy has actually invaded our neighborhood. The enemy's invaded our community. The enemy has come. And Jesus teaches about the enemy's ways, that he comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy. And I want to suggest to you this morning, we live in a time, and if we can go back to the first graphic, if you could, Richard, just the opening one, which actually is clipped out of the movie. I'll come back to more of what that scene is about. But that particular moment in the movie is when one of the key actors, one of the key players, turns up in this French village, and it has been totally ransacked and ravaged by the enemy forces. It's just a burning mess. And you know, here we are, we've driven in here this morning, right? I don't think we saw any soldiers. Don't think we saw, smelt any fire, although we might have done a few weeks ago. But if you follow my heart in this moment, it is to say that we live in a moment where I believe the enemy has ransacked and ravaged and come in, and he's sought to have as much harm and as much damage on our community, on our families, on our children, on our marriages. Are you with me this morning? And I feel today that there is a picture for really what I think the Ziklag story is about, that our sons and daughters, as it were, have been taken captive. I'm talking mostly this morning about children. I'm talking mostly about the need for us to go after and rescue children. Let me please explain. I'm not overlooking the needs of adults or of other demographics in our community, but some of the things that we feel as a church that we must do is go and rescue children. Everybody say, rescuing children. Rescuing children. Good. Nigel, Charlie didn't hear you, mate. Rescuing children. Thank you. Rescuing children. Rescuing children. So the enemy has invaded. And again, you might think, David, well, you've been a bit dramatic. I just think of several things that are just kind of heavy on my heart. I think today of the fact that children often don't even hardly get a childhood, honestly. Children don't always get the chance just to simply be innocent and to be children. We live in a day and age where there is what's called the sexualization of children, where children just sort of get into adulthood and into a whole kind of realm of sexuality way before that they actually, I believe, should. And we live in a time where children are getting robbed sometimes, just through abuse in all its forms, where children can be exposed to pornography completely accidentally, but it can get inside their hearts and their heads and ruin their brains, ruin how they think. We live in a time where gender fluidity is an issue, I believe, in our culture. We live in a time where children often are allowed, I believe, way more free will than they really should have, and they don't have good, healthy, strong parenting that guides them and teaches them and leads them according to what the scriptures teach us to do. So I believe we live in a time where there is much to be concerned about that is destroying childlikeness. You know, the enemy has always gone after kids. Always. You know the story of Jesus. Jesus was just an infant, and within days of his birth, King Herod, really inspired by, demonically, the powers of darkness, went after him and tried to kill the baby Jesus. You know that, right? You know that that infanticide is actually out of, I believe, the enemy's plans. Abortion is an evil. It should not happen. Barrenness, and I'm, again, don't overlook for a moment some of you right now today who may have fertility may have been an issue for you, but I want you to know barrenness is never God's idea. It's actually from the enemy. So our children are in danger. Why would we talk today about some of the things we want to do at the Hive to reach children? It's because someone needs to, and many are, but we need to do something as well. Does that make sense? We need to rescue children. So 2020. Thanks, guys, for praying. I believe 2020, we've shared, it's a year of influence, believing God's raising an act, as it were, a curtain for a whole new act for the Hive. And I also feel, as I've shared in previous weeks, the bushfire disaster can be that thing which can actually cause us to get preoccupied with that which is apocalyptic, is that word, I think, and, you know, disaster, all those sorts of things. But God wants us to raise our eyes this morning to what it is that we can do to reach children in our community. So on February the 2nd, just to put out there right now, two things we'll be doing in 2020 that we have not done before. And one of those is from the 2nd of February, we will have a part of our planned Sunday that actually is for young children. That's good, isn't it? We're going to begin to provide and guide and have a space that is for children. This is not just simply because it's a good idea to have something. We actually believe it's significantly necessary to reach out to and to be the light, to be able to communicate love in actions and in word, and be able to reach children. So that's going to happen from 2nd of February, and it will be something that will happen mid-service. So at roughly the time when the worship finishes, then the children will move into a different space. So that's going to start. Now, some of you might think, well, hey, that's not necessarily massively revolutionary, and I know many churches do this kind of thing, but for us, it is that time when we need to do something. And we celebrate Drew and Jess and their two children, as it were, as kind of the first pioneers into coming here into a church where right now there's not a lot of families, but God's going to bring them, and we believe as we set our hearts to go after and rescue children, then this place is going to change. Amen? Amen. Amen. So The second thing that is a little different, we have never done before, on February the 11th, which is a Tuesday, we're going to begin a program called Music and Motion. Music and Motion, it'll be in this room, PCYC, and it will be, again, for young children, and it will be for their parents or their carers, and it's a great way to engage with our community and to begin to rescue and be a different voice, a different message, eyes of love, arms of love, and represent Jesus. So looking forward to that. Now, here's the thing. I believe it's no accident that my wife today is sick, because Eve's put her hand up and has been carrying this burden, really, to initiate these kinds of things for some months. And Eve will be the leader, and she is the leader, and she'll be back soon, don't worry. But I believe it's no accident that when we put our hand to the plough, has anybody ever found this before? When you follow God into something, and when you actually say yes, and when you begin to carve away where there has been no way, then often opposition comes, and I believe it has come. It's uncharacteristic for Eve to be sick. It just doesn't happen. So it's happening. But that's not to be concerned about. Rather, it is to pray into and to recognize there is a fight, and we're going after the enemy, amen, to rescue that which he has stolen. So praise God, we're beginning with two new activities. And today we're talking mostly about that. Next Sunday we'll be talking about a completely different theme. But today's about rescuing children. Are we okay? Yeah. Anybody thinking about their hamburger with a lot or double espresso? I'm thinking about a double espresso. But here we go. God has a strategy to redeem and rescue children. God's not caught out by what the enemy does. Do you agree with that? The enemy is what he does is no surprise. God knows ahead of time what the enemy's doing, and he has a strategy. God has positioned us, he's positioned many people in our community to go after and rescue children. But he has a strategy, and I believe it revolves around three things, and I'm going to share from some scriptures about this. I believe it revolves around leadership. I believe there's a leadership necessity and beginning point for rescuing children. Number two, I believe that God's strategy to redeem and rescue children involves around encounter with Jesus. And I believe, thirdly, that God has a strategy to redeem children. It revolves around children having something happen in their hearts that activates grace and faith and salvation. I believe it's that simple. So we're going to share out of a few scriptures on the way to that. How's our time? There we go. Thank you, Richard. So I wonder today, how many of you met Jesus in Sunday school or in some kind of children's activity? I wonder how many of you, could you put your hand up if you came to Jesus, if you came to faith as a primary school age child? Yes, a few of you did. How many of you were teenagers when you came to faith? Yep. How many of you were into adulthood before you came into faith? A couple of you. So I'm one who is the fruit of a Sunday school teacher who, even though I was raised in a Christian home, this is kind of an interesting story, but you know it to be very true. I had Christian parents, and I was taught the Bible. I was taught the love of Jesus, but it took me, by this stage, to be about 11 years of age at a children's program in the kind of coastal part of South Australia, and I had my own moment where I received Jesus at 11. It's so important to never assume, because our children even might be part of Christian homes, that they are born again or saved or have a love for Jesus. It's so important to do what it is that we're doing. So let's go to a few scriptures. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. I think we have a scripture on the screen. Mark chapter 10. It says, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And he, Jesus, took them into his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Remember I said that I believe reaching children takes three things, that there are three parts to the strategy that Jesus actually lived out himself. And here it is. Then they brought little children. What is that act of bringing? I put it to you that bringing children is leadership. They brought children to Jesus. I believe for those of you who are parents, still we have, as best as we can, a responsibility before our children to in some way bring them to Jesus. I understand it's quite different when our children are adults, as ours are, but nonetheless, it took children, and in fact the Passion Translation, beg your pardon, it took people. The Passion Translation actually says parents brought little children to him. But I believe that part of our role as a church is simply to lead the bringing of children to Jesus. That's why we're going to have, on Sundays, from the front, we'll lead that and we'll say, children, you matter to Jesus. Children, we want you to go and now have your space and your time. You matter, and we're going to bring them into a space where they can actually encounter Jesus. That's why we're going to go out and to hand out flyers, because there needs to be a way that we can help parents and carers out there bring their children to Tuesdays here. Does that make sense? Bring their children to what it is that we'll be doing on Sunday. But notice they brought children to Jesus that he might touch them. Isn't it wonderful this morning? And I want you to hear this through the lens of what Jesus teaches, that Jesus says, unless you are as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, right? And so this morning, I'm actually speaking on two levels here, because Jesus wants to touch you right now, actually. But unless you are as a little child, then you probably won't be able to receive necessarily what Jesus would want to do and how he would want to touch you, but Jesus wants to touch you, and as we read in the final verse of this quote, to hold you in his arms, to lay his hands on you, and to bless you. And sometimes our inability to see people the way Jesus sees them can block us and block them from receiving what he wants to do. That's actually what the disciples were like. It's kind of challenging to me. Here's these guys who were in the inner circle, and they actually rebuked people for bringing children to Jesus. Can you get how sometimes in church settings we can create these mindsets that actually make it difficult for the real deal of a child's heart to encounter Jesus? Because if we become too adult, is anybody a bit adult? I know I have been challenged about this a lot, where we reach the stage where we sort of stop thinking like a child. That's okay in some senses, but Jesus always wants our heart to be childlike. So Jesus is the everlasting Father, and he so wanted and still does to have the opportunity to touch children. But it needs leadership. It needs people to bring children. So I also said that I believe that, number two, an encounter with Jesus is actually what it is that changes children. And simply, the encounter happens when, by faith, somehow we get children to be around Jesus, and he will touch them. He's so loving. That's why I wanted to sing this morning, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me, little ones to him belong. Isn't that true? Little ones to him belong. The Bible's very intentional in using the word little children. Little children. It's very, very important. Jesus wants to touch little children. So then Jesus said in chapter 19 of and verse 14 of Matthew, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." I believe when we lead children, then they'll want to come, right? That's the beauty of a childlike heart. Children have just way less barriers and inhibitions to actually recognising the reality of who Jesus is. So I encourage us today, we're going to see incredible miracles as we just simply help to bring people. Because once children get near Jesus, then I believe they will want to come, and he will meet them and form faith inside of them. So Let me share with you what I think is really, in a sense, the challenge factor. And then secondly, what it is that we can do. You know, a couple of years back, a good friend of ours who's a pastor came and preached and shared this idea and this thought that the bumblebee / think hive church, you with me? The bumblebee, some say the bumblebee from a biological kind of design of the bumblebee, its weight and its wings and the way it's actually structured. The bumblebee should never be able to fly. Have you ever heard that idea? Some people say scientifically the bumblebee does not have the architecture, as it were, to be able to fly, but the bumblebee can fly. I want to suggest to you that the things we're called to do in following God and in life, in church life and in our own walk with Jesus, often will be completely impossible other than for the miracle working power of God. I think of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I think of the time when we set in our hearts at the Hive to feed and provide a Christmas meal in the mall some years ago. And I think of that time when we set about desiring to provide 200 meals. And so we began to do that and plan for that and then go out there and wonder, will anybody come? And we witnessed that miracle of what it happens when you punch above your weight. Amen. And where you are in a zone where unless Jesus turns up and does something, it's a belly flop. Have you ever been there? I feel like God is calling us into that space at the Hive over this particular matter of rescuing children. So how can we rise to the challenge? I think, first of all, that you would pray. We're having prayer tomorrow night, as we shared, but I believe we need way more prayer than what happens when we pray corporately, and it's a good thing to pray together. But I encourage us all to press into prayer during these coming weeks, that this vision to reach children would fly, that God would do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask, dream, or think. Number two, I encourage you to consider before God giving of your finance. And I'm not talking right now about the tithe part of how you might give. In other words, some of you would probably before God give 1/10 of your income in a regular basis. I'm actually talking about just asking God, being willing to say to the Holy Spirit, what is it that you would want me to give of finance? Now, we have decided to have a special offering. We did say last Sunday it would be on the long weekend coming, but we've decided to actually have that offering on the first moment that we have children's ministry in this space. That'll be on February the 2nd, okay? And I encourage you just to simply ask God. You know, I've done a rough budget as far as I can tell, and to take on the extra hiring costs that will, by the way, we'll be able on Sunday mornings to use the what's called the dance studio. You know what I'm talking about? It's the room directly through there with the mirrors. We'll be able to use that for roughly 2/3 of the all the Sundays, which is wonderful because it's a great space. On the other Sundays, we will be using the room at the front above the stairs, but we're going to incur a little extra higher cost to sort of upgrade to that bigger room, and then there'll be some licensing costs of music and activities. When we have the Tuesdays here, again, there'll be more hiring costs, and I think we're roughly in a zone of probably an extra $10,000 in cost to sort of bite off the what we believe to do. Now, this is why it takes faith to say yes to God. And I know God turns up. This time last year, we those of you who were part of us, start of February into March, we visioned the Bedford and visioned launching the Bedford. And we said, look, we just need some funds to buy a coffee machine and do this and do that. And you know, miraculously, God turned up, and at the giving exceeded $10,000. It was completely miraculous. So I'm excited for what it is the Lord would do. But I encourage you just to consider before God sacrificially how it is that you could sow into the vision to rescue children. Number three, that you would consider serving. Some of you already are and have already said yes to being part of the Tuesday team and other things. But But hey, the lifeblood of everything that happens in the kingdom is servanthood. I even on purpose don't use the word volunteer, because I think that our community has a version of volunteering, which is a great value. But I believe in the kingdom, it's not actually volunteering. In the kingdom, it's serving, and it's servant-heartedness, and it's servanthood. Amen. Anybody get the difference? Patterned on who Jesus is, and I know it's volunteering in the sense that there's not a paycheck for what you do, but nonetheless, this is a higher thing. It's actually about serving the kingdom. It's about saying yes to God. So some of you may, as we unroll this, think about volunteering, even with the letterboxing. It's a wonderful. We had the best time volunteering last before Christmas, right? So. Pray, give, serve, and then number four, this is like the beneath the radar, but the most powerful thing that you can do is to celebrate a culture and a value of childlikeness in your own heart. In other words, celebrate and cultivate what it is to be that person Jesus actually lifted up and said, unless you're like this little child, then you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, and I actually don't think we're in deficit in this issue area in our Hive community, but wouldn't it be wonderful if one of the things we're known for as 2020 unfolds is there is just a beautiful, humble, childlike spirit and heart in that place. Essentially what we're talking about, humility, dependence on God, acknowledgement of weakness, acknowledgement of inability to do life without the power of Jesus. That's actually childlikeness. It's everything that our culture is not about, a value of independence, a value of being a self-made person, the value of being able to be resourceful by yourself, to get ahead, all those things. I believe as we cultivate and we celebrate childlikeness, God will do wonderful things. So we're about to close. Let me just tell you about 1917 and something I want to share about out of that movie. You know, probably one of the most touching moments in the movie, for me anyway, was when the key actor, he was playing in the movie the part of Lance Corporal Schofield. The actor's name is George Mackay, and he turns up in this French village, and he still hasn't completed the mission that he was given to do, which was to take a message to the battalion that were about to go out and advance against the opposition. But in the movie, he gets into this French village, and he's been pursued by an enemy soldier, and he kicks his way into a sort of an underfloor space, low down in beneath ground level, and he finds in that room a young mother, actually a young girl. He doesn't even know that she is a mother, and he engages with this young mother, who he assures her, "I'm not going to kill you. It's okay." And then the next thing, there's the sound of a baby, and this young girl goes over to a chest of drawers and pulls out the lower drawer. And in that lower drawer, it's almost like Moses in the bulrushes, is this tiny, helpless infant who has been hidden there out of sight. And so then the soldier begins to try to communicate to this French girl. As it happens, if I have understood the storyline, the French girl says, "This is not my child. I don't know the name of this child. And I actually don't know how to and have no way to feed this child, because this child actually needs milk." And at that moment, the corporal pulls out his army bottle, which he actually had, through various circumstances, been able to fill with fresh cow's milk a few hours before, and he offers it to... And there's this most beautiful moment when the three of those human beings interact with a little helpless child, and they help to feed milk to this little baby. Our children need the milk of God's word. Our children cannot rescue themselves. Many of our children are nameless and faceless and are not even necessarily known closely within those households they live. Many of our children are with possibly carers or with blended families, and my heart goes out to all those circumstances. This is not a condemnation statement. It's rather to say, I believe God is calling us into a space where we will be encountering little children who are in places of vulnerability, places of being placed in households where they're not necessarily cared for or provided for. And we hold in our hands both love and we hold in our hands the milk of the word to feed them and nourish them. Are you with me? And I believe today there's something powerful to kind of form in our hearts as we consider that image. And this morning, simply, I want you to stand, and I'm going to pray. And the words God gave me to pray just in this moment over this budding children's ministry, over our Sunday activity, over our Tuesday activity, but more importantly, not just here, but we're actually saying this over the surrounding neighbourhood, we're saying this over the units, we're saying this over the children who gather every weeknight at that big park, that big playground not far from here, the children who are downstairs now, possibly around that playground within the building. Simply, God put it on me just to simply say the words, let there be light. Let there be light. Jesus, would your light shine? Let there be light over our children. So can you say those words with me right now on the count of three? One, two, three. Let there be light. One more time. Let there be light. And one more time. Let there be light. And can we actually dare to say that right now over our own hearts, for there to be just another measure of light-giving revelation of the wonders of who Jesus is. Let's say it. Let there be light. Put your hand on your heart. Let there be light. We thank you, Jesus. So, Father, together, God, we just lift up a cry of faith. God, and a mighty God. God, we thank you that you never fail us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And, Jesus, as we set our hearts, God, on the vision ahead to go out and to rescue children and to lead them to where you are, Jesus, that you could put your hand on them and that you could love them and that you could introduce them to your heart. Jesus, we just want to confess we cannot do this without you. But we know that with you, all things are possible. And so, God, I thank you for this band of people. God, I thank you for others who are part of our community who will grab on to this message and grab on, God, to the days ahead as we walk this out and roll it out toward February 2nd. God, I thank you that with you, Jesus, and with each other and with each of our contributions, God, mighty things can happen for the kingdom. And God, I thank you today that you have wonderful plans. You have great purposes, God, in your heart for us as a people and for this community. And so we rest in who you are. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks, Arlene.